The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Going to be a terrific sports weekend on ESPN, and we are looking forward to bringing it to you. Here's the lineup. Starting tomorrow night, we have Steph Curry and the Warriors taking on the Clippers. Then on Sunday, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens taking on Derrick Henry and the Titans in the AFC wildcard game. That's Sunday on ESPN and ABC. We have the mega cast, so many different ways to experience that enormous game. And we cap it off with the national championship game in college football between Alabama and Ohio State. That is next Monday night. You will see it all on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to another hour here of Get Up. As always, we come to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Mike Greenberg. We have Dominique Foxworth with us today, Adam Schefter. We'll have Todd McShay debuting his brand new mock draft for the very first time in just a matter of moments. And as always, we thank you for getting up with us here, because at ESPN, we feel like our job is to bring you the sports news of the day. And on this show, we try to do that every single morning with a smile. And that is what we are doing today and will continue to do as always. But in case you are just getting up and starting your day, let us first catch you up on the stunning events of the past 18 hours. Here is the very latest. Early this morning, Congress certified Joe Biden's victory as president of the United States, and President Trump promised an orderly transition of power on January 20th. But as you know by now, yesterday's events and the protests in Washington, D.C. were anything but orderly. Dozens of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol building, interrupting the certification vote. The scene at the Capitol led to four deaths, a woman who was shot inside the building, and three others who died outside from medical emergencies. There were over 50 arrests and widespread destruction. In response, last night in Phoenix, the Suns and Raptors locked arms in a circle of unity. In Miami, most players on the Celtics and Heat took a knee during the playing of the national anthem. Both teams issued a joint statement saying they decided to play to, quote, try to bring joy into people's lives. In San Francisco, the Warriors warmed up in shirts that read Black Lives Matter and took a knee with the Clippers during the national anthem.
Thousands of white people can storm the Capitol and not face any sort of obstruction from police. But heaven forbid a 12-year-old black boy carry a toy gun in a park, or a 15-year-old black boy walk home from a store with a bag of Skittles.
Everybody knows what's going on in the world, man, and you can't hide from that. We see the two different USAs that we live in. It's sad. It truly is. It's sad.
Nothing's changed. I think, through social media and all of these, different things that we have at our fingertips today, you're more aware of things, but nothing's changed. This is the same America that it's been. It's no different.
Could you imagine today those were all black people storming the Capitol and what would have happened? So that to me is a picture that's worth a thousand words for all of us to see, and probably something for us to reckon with again.
As far as the direct impact on sports scheduling as a result of a curfew in Washington, D.C., George Washington postponed last night's men's basketball game with UMass. And there is, of course, continuous and outstanding coverage of these events on Good Morning America today and so many other places that you'll find on your television. It's been my belief for more than 20 years now in this space that if you come to me on these mornings on ESPN, it's because you're looking for that very particular escape that sometimes only sports can provide. And so that is what we are doing here today, and hopefully we will be able to make you smile along the way. So we get to the sports news, and we get through Todd McShay's very first mock draft of the year. And there is no surprise at the top. Todd has the Jacksonville Jaguars selecting Clemson's Trevor Lawrence with the number one overall pick. So that is not a surprise. He then has the Jets at number two, taking the Oregon offensive tackle Penei Sewell. And then the Dolphins taking the Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith. BYU's Zach Wilson is the second quarterback off the board to the Falcons at four, and that is because McShay doesn't have any of the next 10 teams taking a quarterback. And at 15, he has Justin Fields from Ohio State going to the New England Patriots. Here's a look at the full top 10 of McShay's first mock. And outside of the quarterbacks, as you see, Sewell is there, Devontae Smith. That would team up Smith with his old quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, in Miami. But there's obviously a lot to unpack here. And so let us bring McShay into the conversation as we thank you for getting up with us here, Todd McShay, and Shefty is alongside as well. Let's start at the very top. So much talk about Trevor Lawrence. Just how good a prospect in your mind is he, McShay, in relation to other recent quarterbacks who've been at the top of the board?
I go back to Andrew Luck in 2012. I really think he's the highest graded quarterback that I've had since 2012. And Andrew Luck, remember when he came out, obviously he had some injuries and didn't quite live up to what the expectation was. But from a prospect standpoint, I think Trevor Lawrence is just as good. I mean, to me, Andrew Luck was the epitome of a quarterback that was coming out and ready to play in the NFL. And Trevor Lawrence this year has been different. He's matured. You saw it in the offseason. You saw him handle all the social justice and everything else that has gone on. And he's slowed down his game. He understands what he's looking for defensively. And I just think he's playing at such a high level. I think it's a no-brainer that he's the number one overall pick. And Jacksonville hasn't had the number one overall pick in 26 years of their organization. So to me, it's surprising, first of all, with all the losing that they've done, that they had not had that first overall pick. But he could be the player that finally turns things around for the Jaguars.
Right. And look, obviously, he's spectacular. You are not the only one. Every analyst that we have talked to says that he is a generational prospect. What should we make of the fact, Todd? I've been waiting to ask you this question since last Friday night. That in the last three college football playoff games in which he played, Ohio State last year, LSU last year, and now last Friday night, he was outplayed by the other quarterback on the field. That's just what happened in those games.
Yep.
What should we take away from that?
It's a good question, and it's a fair question. But you got to understand, his offensive line was not very good this year. They lost 2,800 yards in receiving from a year ago in terms of their top three receivers. And so he just had to carry the team, and there was not enough around him in order to play to the high level that you expect. But you go back and watch a year ago against Ohio State when he didn't have his fastball in the semifinal game, but he competed and he ran the ball and he found a way to win. I just think he's a winner. And I think you look at him physically, mentally, maturity-wise, he has everything that you look for in a quarterback prospect.
Shefty, so there's no question about this, right? I mean, you last year around this time, you said, put it on the bottom line, Joe Burrow is going number one to Cincinnati. And at that point, it felt like there was some question. This year, there isn't any such question, right?
It doesn't really feel that way. Now, the only scenario that you could concoct that could even potentially come into play would be if somehow Urban Meyer took that job, has a connection to Justin Fields, and decides, you know what, I really like Justin Fields, feel comfortable. He played incredibly well in the playoffs. If Justin Fields plays well again against Alabama and has another performance like the one he had this past week, then maybe he would garner some consideration. But I think Trevor Lawrence is widely expected to be the number one overall pick. And when you hear Todd say that he's this generational quarterback, the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, you've heard others say the best quarterback prospect since Peyton Manning, that's the guy that almost always goes number one. It would be an upset if he didn't go number one. So if you want to put on the bottom line right now, Greeny, that Trevor Lawrence is expected to go number one, go right ahead. There's no surprise in that. There's no shock in that. It's not like Joe Burrow last year, but I think Trevor Lawrence will be the number one pick. Yes.
Right. Be careful what you wish for, because we'll do it. But that's neither here nor there. All right, McShay, let me come to you, because that's not the surprising part. Here's the surprising part, to me at least. I have felt like for much of the last 2 years, Lawrence and Fields were sort of 1 and 1A. So what has happened that Justin Fields now on your mock draft has fallen all the way to 15 and isn't even the second quarterback off the board?
Yeah, well, Zach Wilson from BYU has really risen. He had a great year this year. And listen, you could see Fields go number four. He could go to Atlanta. And I struggled with it, to be completely honest. But at the end of the day, I think Zach Wilson is a better player. I think his ability to extend plays, his ability to throw the ball down the field and make plays, and Justin Fields is a really good player as well, but he gets stuck on his primary a lot. And if you really study his game, I worry about him in the NFL in terms of adjusting and being able to go from that first look to the second look and processing fast enough. And that really, the more tape I've studied, the more concern I've had. And I know he's coming off of a great game and obviously is a great competitor, but I just think Zach Wilson is a little bit of a better player. And then there's not a lot of teams that need quarterbacks from that number four spot on down to 15, where I have the Patriots taking Justin Fields.
That would really be something else. All right, the entire McShay McMock is up right now on ESPN.com. I have so many more questions for you, Todd. We're out of time here, but we will do much more of this as we work our way towards it. Thank you, Todd. Shefty, hang on a minute. We're coming back with a whole lot more, including back to the playoffs. The Browns dealing with plenty of problems off the field this week, but we will tell you what Baker Mayfield's biggest problem will be on the field on Sunday. Plus, Chase Young said he wants Tom Brady and makes no apologies for it. Is the Washington defense good enough to put the GOAT on upset alert? We'll answer that question next. Get up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. College hoops tonight on ESPN, the number one team in the country, undefeated Gonzaga hosting 9-2 BYU at 8:30 Eastern. That's followed by a Pac-12 showdown between UCLA and Arizona State. Both games tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, back to the NFL, where the Browns got some much-needed good news yesterday after the latest round of COVID-19 testing produced no new positive results. Here's what their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, had to say yesterday. Take a listen.
They understand that we have a job to do, and they're excited to do that. So they know that this thing's not stopping for me or anybody. So they're full speed ahead. It's the next person up. So it doesn't change regardless of who's on the sideline.
All right, so that's obviously what he has to say, but we recognize the situation is obviously important with how significant a role he plays in their game day offense and everything else. So, Shefty, what can you tell us about the latest in Cleveland on the testing and everything else?
Well, Greeny, they're hoping to reopen today, and if there are no more positive tests, that would be the option and the hope that they can do that, that they can actually get on the field and practice for the first time this week for the wild card game on Sunday night. They have not been able to practice so far yet. Kevin Stefanski remains and will remain at home, along with players like Joel Bitonio, their longest tenured player. And just keep this in mind, this is the first playoff game for this franchise since 2002. The Browns haven't won a playoff game since 1994, when Bill Belichick was their head coach and he led them to a win over the New England Patriots at the time. First and foremost, you hope everybody's healthy, but assuming that they are, if that is the case, you want this organization and this city to be able to enjoy this week and not have it be the struggle and battle that it's turned into just to get the game in and on. Who would have thought that finally, when the Cleveland Browns make it, that it would be this much of a battle to get to this point? But that's where they're at. I think they're pleased to be where they are, but this has not been an easy week and what has not been an easy season for many around the National Football League.
And so, Dominique Foxworth, let me come to you here, because we've talked so much about them having to play the game without their coach on the sideline and the significance of that based on his relationship with the quarterback and the fact that he is the play caller. But let's take it to the next level. As Shefty points out, they haven't even been in the building this week, so they have not practiced. There is a world right in which they don't get to practice today or tomorrow. Just how much impact does that have on a team at this time of the year?
Generally, as like a former player, I'm not one here cheering for more and more practice. We got to get out on the field. But it's particularly this time of the year, guys aren't really doing full pad, full speed practices. So I'm not sure how much that matters as much as the walkthroughs matter. Just being around guys and being able to walk through the type of blitzes you may see as a quarterback, to be able to see it in action and not just on a page or on a screen, I think matters. And to be a safety or a cornerback or a linebacker to be out there and go through all the type of pass combinations that the team you're going up against likes to use on third and five or third and eight. Like, that matters because, as we all know, some people learn differently. But I think for everybody, being able to go out there and walk through and see guys actually do the things that you're going to expect on the weekend, like, that matters. And I think it's going to hurt them a great deal. Maybe they'll have some time to be able to do some of that stuff, but nothing can replace all the days that they have missed.
Maybe it helps that it's a division rival, so they play them twice a year. Maybe it helps that they just played them this past Sunday, despite the Steelers resting a few people. But how about what the Steelers do defensively? As we were talking about this morning, what the Steelers do defensively, yeah, getting after the quarterback feels as though, I know I've been putting words in your mouth now, but you were saying feels as though it's the most important factor in this game.
It feels like it to me, because we know how different Baker is when he is under pressure. And we know that this Steelers defensive line is incredible. And the pass rush that they're going to be able to put on Baker is going to determine how well he's able to perform. And the guy named TJ Watt on the edge is a big problem. And obviously up the middle with Hayward is a problem too. But they're not going to have Bud Dupree, as we know he got hurt early in the season. But the Steelers are not afraid to blitz to ensure that a guy like TJ Watt has to be one-on-one, and you're not going to be able to protect in that situation. So obviously, they're going to have to rely on the run game a lot if you're the Browns to be able to keep the pressure off Baker. But there are going to come times where you're going to have to convert a third and eight, or a time where you're going to have to convert in the red zone, and Baker's going to have to throw. And what decides how he's going to perform in that moment is less so how well he plays, but how well TJ Watt and that defensive front for the Steelers play.
And Schefter, you know, it is ironic as well, as you and I have chronicled this thing all through the season, every single week here. It has been the Steelers who on multiple times this year have felt, for lack of a better word, aggrieved. They felt that they got the short end of the stick, that they didn't get a bye week, that the scheduling got moved around on them, all of that. And now here it flips in the playoffs, where the team that they draw in the first round gets, I think you would have to say at this point, the worst break that anyone has had so far.
Well, Green, look, every team in the league has had issues and battles this year. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a primary example. You're referring to the fact that earlier in the year, they found out their bye weekend was going to take place when they were basically, the schedule was adjusted, and they lost their bye weekend. And so they've had to make adjustments and alterations all along, and that's one of the reasons that they rested players last week against the Cleveland Browns and didn't play a slew of players like Cam Hayward in that game, with the idea of giving them a bye that they never felt like they got during the season. But my point is, every team in the league has been through something that has been trying, challenging, exhausting, frustrating, draining. That's the one word you hear from everybody. Pittsburgh is not unique to this. We've heard about the Steelers a few different times.
No question about it. And so that's the backdrop for this matchup between these two longtime rivals, and they will wrap up wildcard weekend with the game on Sunday night. Meanwhile, we're just getting rolling here on Get Up. As we continue, Dak Prescott stands to get paid no matter what happens this offseason, but would he be better off getting paid somewhere else? One of our crew says yes. We'll talk about that more as we continue. Get Up on ESPN.
4 days to the College Football Playoff National Championship game on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, a little eye candy. Dominique, check out this dunk. James Harden to David Nwaba. And take a look at this. Oh, he throws it down.
Yeah. That's one of my biggest fears. That's why I retired from playing basketball in the eighth grade. Because I never wanted to be under there. Once guys started being able to dunk, I started playing football.
Could you dunk a basketball?
Yeah, I mean, don't insult me, Mike Greenberg.
Is that insulting? I can't dunk a basketball. I don't mean it to be insulting. We're about the same size. Chase Young says he wants Tom Brady. Should he be careful what he wishes for? We'll answer that question next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You have certainly seen it all week. Marshawn Lynch's 67-yard touchdown run has to go down as one of the best in postseason history. Questfield literally shook while it was happening. Pacific Northwest Seismic Network registered an earthquake. Questfield literally shook.
Lynch left side. Finds a little bit of a hole. Keeps his leg moving. He's across the 40. Midfield. 45. He's on the run, Lynch. 40. Pushes him at 35. Look at him go. He's down to 20. 15. He's going to go. He is going to go. Touchdown, Seahawks!
You wasn't in this stadium to see it and to hear it. You're being shortchanged by watching this video.
You'll never forget it if you saw it. Marshawn Lynch's run against the Saints shows you what is possible in the playoffs, even if you finish the regular season under 500, as Washington did this year. The first team with a losing record to make the playoffs since 2014, and they'll be hoping to make a memory as well. And so let me go to Dominique Foxworth here and ask the very simple question. They're trying to pull off something that is not impossible. Do you think that Washington can surprise the entire world and knock Tampa Tom out of the playoffs on Saturday night?
I live in Washington. I would like to say yes, but no. Obviously not. I think Washington averages about 21 points a game this year. They've scored over 30 only one time, and that was that game against the Cowboys, where who knows what the Cowboys were doing with those ridiculous fake punts and all those things. So I don't see that happening. Unless that defense can keep Tom Brady to around 17 points or maybe somewhere below that, then they have a chance to win, and that defense can score some points of their own. But I don't think that defense is that good. They're really good, but they're not like 05 Ravens good that they're just going to shut people out. Tom Brady's going to score enough points that Taylor Heineke and Alex Smith are not going to be able to generate enough offense on the other side to knock them off.
Yeah, you saw the number there from Hembo. Teams that beat Brady score 27 a game. Shefty, let's go to that, the Washington quarterback situation where Alex Smith is working his way back from the calf, and Ron Rivera said that we will see, for lack of a better word, something of a platoon. What is the expectation for Washington?
Listen, they need Alex Smith to be as healthy as possible, and he's going to be limited in his mobility. That's to the surprise of nobody. You could see the brace that he was wearing on that calf there the other night to limit his mobility. He's never going to be all that mobile, but they just need him to be effective. They need him not to turn over the football. They need him to try to keep up with Tampa's offense. And the truth of the matter is, Washington's defense has to win this game with that front seven. When we've seen Tom Brady lose in the postseason before, we've seen it from pressure up the middle. The New York Giants were famous for it, notorious for it. And the Washington football team has to deliver the same type of production from its defense. Alex Smith, again, has to do what he's done to get this team to a division title. I don't think anybody expects Alex Smith to keep up in a track meet with Tom Brady. That's not a realistic expectation. But I think at this point in time, he's healthy enough to be out there. And if they need to use Taylor Heineke on certain run plays, bootleg plays, plays that mix it up and keep the Tampa defense on guard, then that's what Washington will wind up doing.
I'm with you. And any chance that they have, I agree, comes from that defensive line just wrecking the game, which they're capable of doing. Do you expect it? Probably not. But is it possible? I suppose it is. Meanwhile, we know that Brady has made so many deep playoff runs, it's hard to count them all. And one man who has made a lot of them with him is Rob Gronkowski. So we wanted to play something for you here. And this is Gronk when he was asked to share this week his favorite off-the-field memory of Tom Brady. Here's what he said.
I would just say going to a Kentucky Derby and seeing him take a shot and like just seeing his face after, like in disgust, like I'm putting this alcohol in my body, and you know, takes a shot and just like, how am I going to throw next week?
What was it a shot of?
I think Fireball.
So, I'm looking at your face, Dominique, and I'm trying to read your reaction. Tom Brady taking a shot of Fireball at the Kentucky Derby. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think he deserves a lot more than one shot, considering what he's achieved. But I feel like there is nothing that Rob Gronkowski can do that is not somehow entertaining. Telling us these boring stories about one guy taking one shot is pretty hilarious to me when Rob's telling the story.
Well, you hang out with Brady all the time, you and all your little Michigan events there, Shefty. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, I've never been in an environment where Tom has been drinking. I'm not much of a drinker myself there, so I guess it's something that's bred in certain Michigan people there, Green. And by the way, I'll tell you how unhip and uncool I am to the ways of the world. I don't even know what Fireball is. I have no idea what that is, and I feel like a loser admitting it, but I'm just being honest with you.
It's like a spicy cinnamon kind of whiskey. If you've ever, it's basically what it is. It's cinnamony, which is what makes it fiery. I can't believe I know this, but I do. And one way or another, let's, you know what? Here's what I think. By the end of the show today, let's get Shefty a shot. What do you think?
Fireball,
get Shefty a shot of Fireball.
Fireballs for everybody. Fireballs for everybody, right?
Go in there. Get Dylan on this. We'll see if we can't get to a shot of Fireball by the end of the show. In the meantime, let's get more to football. Lamar Jackson. We know about his struggles in the playoffs in his career. His total QBR is the lowest by any quarterback with multiple playoff starts in the 15-year history. They've been keeping track of that. And he has particularly struggled in the first three quarters of his playoff games, completing less than half his passes, no touchdowns, three interceptions. Overall, only three MVP quarterbacks have gone one and done in the playoffs in three straight years at any time in their careers. Joe Montana, Burt Jones, and Y.A. Tittle. Here was Lamar yesterday reflecting.
It's when to go home right now, you know. I want to win regardless. I don't really care about what people got to say, you know. I only been in the playoffs twice, you know, my young career. You know, other people been in the league forever, haven't been in the playoffs at all, but it is what it is, you know. But definitely trying to erase that narrative right there. That's the number one right now in my mind.
All right, so I feel like we've talked all week about the pressure that there is on Lamar Jackson based on that history, and that just is what it is. By the way, it's his 24th birthday today. Happy birthday to Lamar. But let's talk about the game itself, Dominique, and why this matchup might be the perfect one for him to rewrite that narrative.
Yeah, I think it's great because it's a rematch from the team last year, and it'll look good to be able to knock that team off, but this team isn't the same team as last year. Their defense last year was average to slightly above average. Their defense this year is incredibly bad. Himbo sent me a stat that said that they are the second worst defense by efficiency in the playoffs in the last 15 years. That's a pretty porous unit, and Lamar Jackson is the most dynamic player in the league. So I think this is a perfect opportunity for them to impose their will and get that early lead that we know the Ravens play so well with. But I think the most important thing for them, and Lamar in particular, is to make them pay on first down with deep passes. I rewatched the old game that they played, or the game they played the Titans earlier in the season, and they did a couple play action deep shots, and Lamar was inaccurate on both of them. He has to hit those. He has to punish the Titans because they load the box. They were playing without a middle safety on many occasions in that situation. And when they were playing cover four, the safeties were super aggressive on the run. So the big plays are going to be there. You can't throw interceptions or you can't miss those targets on those opportunities. You have to get your big chunks then and make the Titans pay and get that early pre-halftime lead that the Ravens are so comfortable playing with.
Well, listen, I mean, the way they have been winning the last few weeks as they seem to have gotten better is they've been running the ball down everybody's throat. They feel like they're running it for 300 or 400 yards a game. Are you telling us that you do not expect them to be able to do that against Tennessee?
Yeah, I do expect them to be able to run the ball, but they always, when they're at their best, they always complement that running attack with some big plays in the passing game. Lamar Jackson's accuracy, it is what it is. It's not going to get much better. He's going to miss throws every now and then. So if you want Lamar Jackson to Drew Brees you all the way down the field and just throw five-yard slants and pick teams apart, that's a bad idea. What Lamar Jackson is going to do well is get you great running attack and get you a consistent running game that can't really be stopped, but he's also going to be able to punish your secondary, because you need to commit people to that running game in order to keep them to 2, 3, 4 yards a pop. If you don't commit extra guys, they'll get 8 every down, and that's fine. They'll take that just fine. But the Titans are smart enough to know that they can't let this slow bleed happen. They're going to have to force Lamar to attack down the field and hope that he's inaccurate on those passes.
So, Shefty, this feels like the game between a lot of people's dark horses, right? I mean, these were two teams a lot of people could have seen making a deep run. One of them, by definition, goes out early Sunday afternoon. What are you hearing as we look ahead to Ravens and Titans?
Well, we talked earlier about Lamar Jackson. I think this becomes a crucial playoff matchup for him on a couple of different levels. The first of which is he has not won a playoff game yet. So if he fails to win again, the offseason chatter is going to rise to a level that is going to be unwelcome and unwanted. And you mentioned before, Greeny, that Peyton Manning had not won a playoff game until he was 27 years old. And I alluded to the fact that John Elway did not win a game, because I always remember that from covering the Broncos, till his fourth or fifth season in the league. They did not do that. They did not struggle in the postseason at a time where social media was as prevalent as it was, where there were so many voices yelling as loudly as they are. If Lamar Jackson goes to 0-3 in the postseason, he's going to endure an entire offseason of questions, criticism, speculation about whether he can ever win in the postseason, whether it's fair or not. But the other factor to it is that he's eligible for a contract. And if we go back to last offseason, Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl, cashed in on his contract. Deshaun Watson went to the postseason, basically won a game, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
He got a big contract. And if Lamar Jackson loses to go to 0-3, he heads into an offseason where he's going to want a new contract, where the Baltimore Ravens are going to say to him, well, you haven't produced in the postseason yet. So for his sake, each win that he gets in the postseason is worth whatever playoff bonus check the NFL is handing out to each player for going that far in this postseason. But it's worth even more in that contract. We saw what Joe Flacco once turned that into. And while Lamar Jackson's contract is not up, he's eligible for a contract extension for the first time, and each playoff win would be big for him.
Right, yeah. Deshaun beat Buffalo last year to move on to that game where they lost against Mahomes, and we'll see if Lamar Jackson, look, they could just pick up his option, and which they clearly will do when he'll be there for two more seasons. But yes, this is the time when they start figuring out just how much money he's going to get paid. Now, in another game, we've got what I think can be described as somewhat encouraging news for the Rams. Their quarterback, Jared Goff, has practiced with the team this week, albeit on a limited basis. He underwent surgery on his thumb after getting hurt December 27th in a loss to the Seahawks, which is the team that they will play again this week. With or without Goff, the Rams face a tough task. If Russell Wilson and the Seahawks win, Russell will have the second most home playoff wins without a loss in NFL history, behind only the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. And these are two teams that are going in opposite directions. At different points in this season, I think we called each of them Super Bowl contenders, right? Seattle looked that way early. Then the Rams looked that way late. Then they've both kind of taken weird turns. So one of them gets knocked out this weekend, Dominique. Which one is it?
Oh, this is a tough one. I've gone back and forth a few times, but I'm leaning towards the Seahawks getting knocked out and the Rams potentially pulling off this upset, because their defense is impressive. And I know that defense isn't the most reliable thing in modern football. Offense is normally what you go with. But what they've done to the Seahawks offense, I think, has been outstanding at the times that they played it. They challenged them and they put pressure on them. I understand the situation with Jared Goff isn't pretty, but I think they find a way to score enough points, and their opportunistic defense, they wisely take risks at times. And I saw when rewatching some of their games earlier in the season that I saw them do things that look like they were busting the coverage, but when you look at the big picture, you recognize that they see what the Seahawks are doing, or they see what their opponents are trying to do, and then they will bust the coverage in order to create a turnover, to make a big play. So I'm relying on that defense. That's the one thing in this game that I feel like has not wavered very much throughout the course of this season in the way that the Seahawks offense has. This Rams defense is something that you can trust, at least so far this season.
Shefty, I saw Sean McVay said that he's not going to give anyone any idea who his quarterback is going to be until right before kickoff. What should we expect?
Well, Jared Goff practiced yesterday, so that's an encouraging sign for the Rams. Went through practice, took some reps, was listed as a limited participant, was spotted throwing the football, was spotted gripping the football. Now, again, we'll see how this shakes out as Saturday draws closer. But if Jared Goff is out there practicing and throwing the football on Thursday, that would lead me to believe that it's progressing the right way and he's got a legitimate chance to play on Saturday, despite the fact that Sean McVay wants to wait as long as he can before making an announcement. If he can't start, obviously John Wolford, the former financial analyst, would make the start. But Cooper Kupp was activated off the reserve COVID list. I think they're expecting Michael Brockers back off the reserve COVID list. Jamal Adams says he's playing despite his sore shoulder. And I think that just tells you, Green, it's playoff time. So if players can be out there, they're going to be out there.
All right, so many interesting games this weekend, and we'll continue to get you ready for those. Meanwhile, let's look at the performance of the night last night, because it came from the NBA, and as frequently is the case, it came in a loss for Bradley Beal. Wizards and Sixers, Beal had 32 at the half, and in the second half, it just kept going, knocking down a three. That gave him 35, and we're still in the third quarter. He was 7 of 10 from three-point range last night. That three gave him 44. He was exhausted, but he was by no means done. Late in the third, Beal's got 53. His team is making a comeback. That's up and good. He was 20 of 35 from the floor. Finished the third quarter with 57 points to the fourth. Wizards within two. Beal, the step back, he's got 59. The trouble he had was that Joel Embiid had himself a huge night as well. Ben Simmons going to throw it up, Embiid going to put it down. 38 points for Embiid. Simmons had 17 points and 12 assists. Embiid again doing it outside as well as inside. So Bradley Beal finishes with 60 points, tying a franchise record, but it's not enough. Sixers get the win, 141-136. Beal not happy.
You know, I'm pissed off. I'm mad. This is just, you know, I don't count any of my, you know, career highs. They've been in losses, so. I don't give a damn. You throw it right out the window with the other two or three I had. I just want to win. You know, sometimes it forces me to score 50, 60, whatever the case may be, but I just want to win and whatever that looks like. So came up a little short tonight. We just got to keep at it. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us.
All right, and you take a look at it here, and the numbers are stark. When Bradley Beal scores 45 points or more, including last night, his team is now 1-6, and so perhaps you get a sense of why he feels that level of frustration on the night that he puts out 60 points, a franchise record. As we continue, Dak Prescott stands to get paid no matter what happens this offseason, but would he be better off cashing checks from someone else? Someone might say yes. Next.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tonight on ESPN, Heisman winner Devontae Smith and the top players and coaches in college football will be honored at the 30th annual Home Depot College Football Awards Show. That's tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios. This is Get Up on ESPN. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're with you commercial-free from now until the top of the hour, at which time I will be coast-to-coast on ESPN Radio. And First Take will be live here on ESPN. And they'll be busy today. Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera will join Stephen A. and Max live. Plus, should the Cowboys give Dak Prescott what he wants? It's First Take. It's coming up in 9 minutes here on ESPN. We're with you commercial free until then. Meanwhile, let's talk about Dak Prescott. It's that time of year again for the Cowboys where they can begin negotiations with their quarterback. After losing Dak to an ankle injury, Dallas went just 4-7 the rest of the way, finished 6-10, leading Jerry Jones to talk about it like this.
I don't know how you could have any more leverage. His evolving into an NFL quarterback has been nothing short of a perfect pitcher. He has great ability in my mind to win games. And so he has all the things, as substantiated by what we've offered. You wouldn't be offering Dak what's been offered him in the past had you not thought he was very special. The issue is how do you come together, and that's no stranger to me. I've been doing it all my life. I got here putting things together. We've got to get it together.
All right, so all of that obviously makes perfect sense, and yet it is still somewhat jarring to hear Jerry Jones, the man who has to negotiate the deal, saying, I don't know how you could have more leverage. But, Shefty, I'm thinking back a couple of weeks ago. You said this is going to be the biggest story of the NFL offseason. Yep. Well, for them, the offseason is here. So where do we stand right now?
Well, it has the potential to be the biggest offseason story, Greeny. I think I don't want to take anything away from the New York Jets at number two, who I think have the chance to make a huge trade, whether they're trading either the number two pick for a quarterback or Sam Darnold. That'll be pretty big, too. But if the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott struggle to reach a new deal, and they've struggled to do that for 2 years, this could turn into the story of the offseason easily. Because what if they can't get a deal done? What happens then? Does Dallas then have Dak play on a hugely inflated $38 million deal at a time where the cap is down, which limits them at other positions, which also gives Dak the ability to lead that franchise after 1 year? If the two sides can quietly get a deal done, a long-term deal done that I think is in the best interest of both sides, then yes, then it's quiet, it's easy, and everybody goes along their way happy. But if there's any issues there, yeah, that could turn into the story of the offseason if this is a holdup.
Let's make sure everyone is clear on what you're saying. That $38 million would be if he plays under the franchise tag again. Right. And to the idea that maybe this would just go smoothly, history suggests there's no reason to expect that to happen, right, Dominique? So, I mean, $38 million feels like where this conversation would begin since he's got that franchise tag sitting there. I think it's going to be very hard for the Cowboys to make a deal that will be worth his while.
That's what it hit me when Adam was just saying that maybe they could do it quietly and smoothly. I don't know the incentive for Dak to do that now. Like, I could understand why Dak could feel insulted by the way this process has gone up until now. And they kept kind of pushing it off as if they thought that they had some leverage or they could, meaning the Cowboys, could kind of negotiate him down. Now we've realized after this season, if they didn't know it before based on his play on the field, they realized what type of team they are without him, or what type of offense at least they are without him. They were top five last year, and early in this season, top five. And then they lose him, and then they're 30th in the league in efficiency with Andy Dalton, who is not a bad quarterback. So you just substitute Andy Dalton and maybe consider him like a league average quarterback, and your offense becomes among the worst in the league. So I think Dak's power is really important in this moment, and we'll see how much Dak really wants to be in Dallas, because I'm not sure that's the perfect place for him going forward.
Yeah, that's one of the things that... Go ahead, Adam.
You know, what I was going to say is, the only thing that you could say is they have not gotten a deal done for 2 years, and it's been a battle for both sides. Dax wanted less time on the contract. The Cowboys wanted more time on the contract. I don't think the money has been as much of a sticking point, but I think the dynamics now are a little bit different from both sides. I think the Dallas Cowboys would be and should be more desperate to get this deal done in light of what the cap situation will be, and in light of seeing how valuable Dak is to that franchise. And I think Dak went through this year where he was injured, and he sees how quickly that can be taken from him. And I don't think his desire to stay in Dallas ever has waned or waffled. It's just that they have not been able to get that deal done. So if they can, again, figure that out, it's all good. But there's different dynamics this offseason than there were the last 2 years.
Which is why you were correct when you said it is the most interesting thing to follow as we get into this NFL offseason. All right, meanwhile, nothing more interesting than this feature that we have titled, What Does DeFox Say? And this is when I turn the tables and I will give some opinions to my friend Dominique Foxworth, and we will see what DeFox says.
Man.
Here we go. My first hit is this. The team in the NFC that has the best chance of going into Green Bay and beating Aaron Rodgers in his building is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's what Greeny says. What does DeFox say?
I agree with you, Greeny. Like, that seems about right. The only other team in NFC that I think is good enough to knock off the Packers is the Saints. And the Saints have a situation with an aging quarterback who is aging slightly differently than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is having no trouble attacking down the field. He is throwing the ball down the field with confidence and efficiency. So I think Tom Brady being able to outscore the Packers and that defense being able to potentially hold Aaron Rodgers in check like they did the first time they played them this year in Tampa Bay is more likely than just about any other team, not just about, than any other team in the NFC, including the Saints.
Okay, that's my first. Let's see about this one. I know they don't have draft picks. I know they don't have cap space. But draft picks and cap space come and go. And all-time great quarterbacks don't. Which is why I say the Houston Texans have the most desirable coaching opening in the NFL because they have Deshaun Watson and no one else does. What does D. Fox say?
Yeah, I think draft picks and cap space come and go, and you're right. And finding that quarterback is really difficult. If you have him, you are a leg up on most of the rest of the league. But part of having a great quarterback means the expectations are incredibly high. So maybe the cap space and draft picks, all you can make up for that in the future, but not immediately. As soon as you get to Houston, you're going to be expected to win in those first two or three years. So I don't know how much I would want a job where the expectations are high, but the cupboard is bare. I know you have a great quarterback, but no one's going to look at that team next year and think, oh, well, they have 8 wins this year. You're doing a great job. When you have a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, you better be getting the Super Bowls. And I think that's the expectation down there in Houston.
We shall see. All right, I got one more for you. And I just mentioned Ron Rivera is going to be on First Take coming up. My sneaky Super Bowl team for next season is the Washington football team. That is a Super Bowl caliber defense and then some. They have some pieces on the offense. I get they have to figure out maybe something at quarterback, but they don't need Aaron Rodgers on that team to take them a long way in the playoffs. I like the Washington football team as a sneaky Super Bowl pick for next year. What does D. Fox say?
Well, I love it because I said it like 2 weeks ago on this program. It's fantastic. I agree with you. But the problem is the one caveat that both of us have put into this equation happens to be the biggest one in the league. The one that almost all teams feel the same about is if we can figure it out at quarterback. If we can figure it out at quarterback, we're going to have a great team. That's a hard thing to figure out. And I'm sure they're going to be out here trying to trade for Matt Stafford or Jimmy Garoppolo, just like the rest of the teams who feel like they're just a quarterback away. So I agree with you, but I got to be honest. It feels like solving that one major problem is going to be really challenging.
We shall find out. We will see. In the meantime, we are certainly looking forward to what should be an outstanding array of football games this weekend as we look forward to Wild Card Weekend. It starts with the Bills and the Colts in Buffalo. That's Saturday, the early game on CBS. Then that gives way to the Rams and the Seahawks on Fox. And then that's the game we're talking about, Washington against Tom Brady. Saturday night primetime on NBC. Sunday, our game is the early game, Tennessee and Baltimore, followed by the Bears and Saints. And then the Steelers and the Browns Sunday night. Prime time. We will see where all of that winds up. And so, Dominique, we will leave it there. We will wait and see what winds up happening. We're glad that you were safe. You make your home there in Washington. The studio that you're working from yesterday was less than a mile away from the Capitol, and we had intended to talk about that a little bit this morning. We had some technical issues. But again, we thank you for getting up with us today. If you make the decision to get up with ESPN in the morning, we feel it's our responsibility to bring you as much sports and as much fun as we can. We hope we did that. And we'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.